Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. I am Jason Snell, your co-host across the internet from me, your host, Chief TV Critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
Hey! I was like, should I raise my hand? What should I do?
Yeah, present. I've got a couple things that I need to tell you.
Okay.
One is, this is what happened 100 episodes ago. This is TV Talk Machine, a podcast about television. 100 episodes ago, we were a podcast about television. And you know what? The shock people would not have guessed. 100 episodes later, still a podcast about television.
And it always was about television, which was unlike the other ones.
Unlike the other ones. Well, yeah, so this is the 100th episode of TV Talk Machine in Yay! This form, which is sort of volume four?
Volume four, I think, yes.
I think I did the math. There are 100 episodes of this. The other TV Talk Machines assembled are about 181 episodes total.
Man, so that's a lot of talking.
It is a lot of talking, a lot of words.
A lot of TV shows.
And also, I wanted to, just because it's fun, I wanted to play this other clip since it's our anniversary episode.
Okay.
This is what this podcast sounded like in volume one, number one, on February 21st, 2007, almost 10 years ago.
Hello, my name is Robert J. Rosenthal. I'm the managing editor at the San Francisco Chronicle, and you are listening to a podcast
whatever that
from
is.
The San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, I love that. That was incredibly corny. Let's go with that. That's a great theme song.
And that's how it started.
Well, not much has changed.
No, not really. So if people are wondering, why do we have the stock Apple 10-second long headline news music that you occasionally hear on local basic cable TV ads? Because I hear it every now and then.
Yeah.
Why? It's because somebody, probably Benny Evangelista, picked it as the theme song to play for episode one nearly 10 years ago.
Man, that is... Yeah, and that's kind of stunning that it really is. We're coming up on 10 years. And for us, on this particular version, we're at 100. Triple digits, man. That is pretty awesome.
Nobody would have predicted it.
I'm going to give us a little golf clap.
All right. Let's hear it.
Good work, Jason. Good work over there. You're doing all the work.
I push the buttons. I'm on the knobs here, pushing the buttons. But, well, thank you for doing this. This is my crazy idea. I left my job and decided to start out as an independent media person. I was like, hey, Tim, let's bring back the old TV Talk Machine. And you said, no, we're not, absolutely not bringing back the old one, but how about a new one? And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about a new one? Now let's do it like we were going to do it before we took a path down the rabbit hole and never came back.
Which is why you shouldn't go back and listen to those other podcasts, is what we're saying.
It's very endearing for those who went down the rabbit hole with us at the same time.
It really was. There were days that I would stand at the bus stop waiting to go home at the end of a long day, and I would be just, tears would be streaming down my face from laughter of listening to that old TV Talk Machine. But yeah, you pretty much had to go down the rabbit hole with you guys. And I don't know if it would even translate today.
Well, there was, I don't know if you remember this, there's a woman who still follows me on Twitter. And I don't know if she listens to this version or not. But her name was Megan. And Megan was one of our first early listeners who actually told us that, and we were in the bubble down in the basement. But she said she was out running, big jogger. And she laughed so hard, she like had to pull over and like lean up against a I don't think she hit it, but she had to lean up against a telephone pole and like was just bent over in laughter. And we were like, really? Is it good? Is it funny?
Oh man.
Yeah. There were days when we were actually very funny.
There were. And then somebody sent in a picture of the TV Talk Machine logo at the Ceausescu's grave.
Cove.
Well, that's true too. And at the birth of their child, that was another one. So just amazing stuff.
Oh my God, that was
I know,
much.
Right? So anyway, we're here, episode 100. I got some letters. I also have. There's just so many shows. You're still alive though. You made it through another week of all the premieres, and I give you credit for that because this is a tough week. Lots of watching. Your eyeballs are like bleeding at this point, I would think.
They are bleeding. They're bled.
You know what you should do? You should flee the country again to return once again to Vancouver for a film festival. That's what I recommend.
That's, I think I'm going to do that. That's a great advice.
You know, like the Vancouver International Film Festival is this weekend. You should just go to it.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to get on the plane. I'm going to do just that. And when I'm there,
you know, that's where they shoot Orphan Black. No, actually, that's not where they shoot Orphan Black. They shoot it in Toronto. And somehow, but Tatiana Maslany's going to be in Vancouver so you can interview her. That's awesome.
It's so perfect. It's
maybe
so
she'll
perfect.
Let you touch her Emmy, but probably not.
Probably not. No.
Probably not. So Woody Allen's Crisis in Six Scenes premieres tonight on Amazon. You reviewed it. What's going on with that?
Not enough, actually, for my take. It's, you know, I know he struggled with it, and I, as my review will prove when people read it, I get to it pretty quickly how, you know, it was clear he didn't really want to do it. He took the money. They offered him tons of money. He needed to figure out a way to do it. It confused him. And then he got an idea and he executed it. The problem is it's only 6 episodes. Oftentimes he only got to 22 minutes, which, as you would probably agree, that's well short of the 30-minute mark when you don't have any commercials and there's no need for you to be 22 minutes. It got better in the 5th and 6th episodes, but the first 3 are really slow. They kind of go nowhere. The jokes are not that funny. And honestly, the 4th episode was kind of better, but overall not very satisfying.
It was always a weird project, wasn't it? Always seemed a little bit strange.
It did. I think that one of the issues with it is that the premise is kind of off. I mean, it's set in the 60s. There's a huge age gap between Woody Allen, who's 80, and Miley Cyrus, who's, I don't know, in her early 20s. And Elaine May's 84. And there's a little confusion about how they know her. I'm not sure that was done super well. It's a farce, but it doesn't get farcical until the 5th and 6th episodes. And some of the stuff that's in the earlier episode that's kind of amusing and you might smile about, it's pretty much retreaded Woody Allen stuff. And I like Woody Allen, and so I should have been the perfect person for this, but it's a no-go.
Does it feel like a series of shorts, or does it feel like a movie that was chopped up into 6 chapters?
Yeah, it pretty much feels like a movie that was chopped up into 6 chapters, but that the 6 chapters didn't add up to a good movie or even a real movie. There was not much momentum. And in fact, it ends in a way where I would have expected it to end a little more cohesively, given that he's probably not going to do another one. So there was no need to like leave characters in limbo. It just kind of felt like he said, yeah, that's a good enough place to stop. That was on his way to the bank. I joked with my editor that maybe the headline should have been "Take the money and run."
Ah, see, I get what you're doing.
See
there.
See what I did there?
A little old school Woody Allen.
Yeah, it's just not there. And you know, although on the other hand, it allowed me to point out how great the television medium is and how many great people are working in it. In that he didn't take it seriously. I wish he would have. I wish he would have put his best effort forward. This is definitely not his best effort, but it just shows you that you don't need a brilliant filmmaker who's, you know, legendary to do a TV show. You just need somebody who wants to do a TV show and has a good idea and executes it. There's a lot of unknown people who make great shows.
Yeah. Marvel's Luke Cage also premiering tonight. I think Dan is reviewing that one.
Yes, Dan was high on his endorsement, so that's good news for Marvel people. Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, my culture was great in Jessica Jones, so I'm looking forward to it.
Right, he was good.
We talked about Westworld. Your review is up now. People can go read it. Mm-hmm. You really liked it.
I really did. And I haven't read anybody else's review. I don't know where it's going to end on the spectrum. I'm not on Twitter that much anymore, as I mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. But I addressed the sort of elephant in the room, which is the series, because it was shut down and they shut down production. And I get right on that and say, you know, normally that's not a good sign. But, you know, that happened with Game of Thrones and threw it out and restarted. These guys basically just, the reason that they stopped, that they explained to us back in July at the Television Critics Association Death March with Cocktails, was that they have a Bible for the show that's very complicated. And I think when they started filming production, they ran into a couple of things with writing the scripts and maybe shooting them where they thought, you know what if this happens and that happens? We didn't really think about that. So I think the idea was, let's shut down production and let's get this Bible right, you know, make it happen so that it works. And so they did that, which is good.
So Sunday, that premieres on HBO.
Yeah, and I think people should check it out and give it a chance. You know, it's really interesting in its own way. And I'm looking for something that can sustain, like, mythology and narrative over, like, 10 episodes or so. And I think this is one of them. I'm not saying it's going to be the next Game of Thrones, but I kind of like the fact that it has hints that it's getting to be... that they're going to go places a little bit more unexpected. The first couple are kind of like what you think, and then they reveal that it's going in a different direction. So hopefully it works, and I would tell people to be patient.
All right. Monday, NBC... Well, let's say start with ABC. ABC premieres Conviction. This stars TV's Agent Carter, Haley Atwell. Everybody loves Haley Atwell. And ABC, like, didn't want to renew Agent Carter because what they really wanted was a legal drama starring Haley Atwell. And it sounds like that was not so good.
This has paint by numbers all over it. It definitely is exactly what you said. It's like, hey, we like Haley Atwell. We actually liked Agent Carter, but no one watched it. So what do we do? Let's recast her in this paint by numbers thing. The woman who co-created this series, there's a woman, and there's two women. One's the director, one's the writer. she has written a couple of Jessica Jones. No, she wrote one Jessica Jones script and then did a story for another one. She wrote one Orange is the New Black script, and she wrote a handful of Elementary scripts. So she does some writing, but doesn't do a ton of writing. And I would just say that she does her worst writing in this show.
Ouch.
Because I don't remember seeing a Jessica Jones or Orange is the New Black episode that really stood out like, God, this is bad. Everything is bad about Conviction. It is terrible. It's an incredible waste of time.
Ouch. So said with conviction.
Said with conviction. Yes. Mm. Yes. I did that joke too.
You did that joke. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it had to be done. Like, just don't even. It's such a waste of Haley Atwell too. And a character that she's not believable. She plays a bad girl and you just don't believe her at all. So, ugh, too bad.
Yeah, that's a shame. I won't watch Conviction.
No, you should not.
What about Timeless on NBC? You didn't have to review that one, did you?
I didn't, and Dan had to do that.
Also
that's
Monday.
One of the four that you will probably have to check
in. Yes, it's my assigned time travel. I have to watch all the time travel shows.
Yes.
I think we determined that last time where I volunteered. I don't know how I got talked into this, but that's one of them.
I think you're going to be perfect for this because you have a history of watching shows with time travel in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a science fiction guy. You're ready for
yep,
it.
Sure.
This one is... I can tell you that it had a lot of questions about the mythology and the methodology right. of how they go back in time. And the reviews are not very good on that one. So I have not seen Dan's review of it yet. But I know in general that people were like, not so good. And you know what? I since I didn't review it, I can't answer this question. But if the producers were smart, they would have got a number of episodes to people. And my guess is that they probably did not.
All right, well, I'll report back next time.
Yes, about, one of like four that you have to do. I
about
guess.
Timeless, yeah. I'm, mm-hmm. I've been assigned all... I've got to suck up all the time travel shows. With a name like No Tomorrow, is that also a time travel show, Tim? That premieres Tuesday on the CW.
I liked No Tomorrow. I'm reviewing that actually as we speak. And they only gave us the pilot. It fits very much into... I like it a lot. And it fits... Well, not a lot. I want to see more episodes before I say a lot. I will say I like it. It fits very much into the same niche as Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And that it's a drama with a kind of high concept, heightened reality sense of fun to it. This one is a little bit more of a traditional rom-com. It's actually based on a Brazilian series. And there's some definitely meet cute moments here. My one thing was that both the leads are incredibly good looking people who would never have any trouble like dating anybody they wanted to. So kind of them as a struggling couple is a little bit too much for me. It's a little bridge too far, but, they do manage to be very likable, which is essential. And they all have their flaws. The flaw that he has, which is the gist of this series, is that he seems like this perfect guy. He's all fun, and she's kind of a little bit more reserved and no fun, and she has a no fun job. He has no job, and he has no job because he believes the world will end in 8 months and 12 days, hit by a meteorite, and he has fashioned out the math and why it would happen if anyone would believe him, and of course they don't believe him, so he could be a little bit crazy. So that's the gist of this, is that he doesn't believe that there's a future and you should have all the fun in the world right now. She's lived kind of an uptight life, and he's kind of dragging her into the moment. If that's all there was to it, I'm not so sure every week would be as fun. But I will say this. They've populated a couple of exterior characters in a way that is really interesting to me, including her ex-boyfriend. And this is the thing that I think gives the show hope, these little signs on these ensemble actors. And her ex-boyfriend is the guy who his voice gets really quiet in crowds. And I don't know why they dreamt that up, but it's pretty good because he can talk normally to her. But then when like two or more people arrive, they have to use subtitles because he talks so low. And I laugh at it. I laughed at it every time. And I was like, okay, you got me. That's a great concept. I think that's really funny. Because when you see another person coming, you kind of realize that he's probably going to switch to the low voice. And it was quirk. It was quirky and fun. There was only one episode, but I laughed a couple of times. But who knows?
Who knows? All right, but no time travel, just the end of the world.
Just the end of the world.
Fair enough.
But if you liked Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, give this one a chance. Since I haven't seen no future episodes beyond this one, I don't know what happens to it, but it feels very much on brand, let's say.
For the CW.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is, next week is CW's big premiere week. On Wednesday, they're premiering Frequency, which is based on a movie that came out in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same idea. There's like a radio, and the radio kind of goes through time. So in this, I remember seeing the trailer for this. This is another one of my time travel shows.
Yes, it is. Yes.
This is a modern day New York police detective. And she can talk to her dead father from the 90s via his old ham radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they must solve crimes in the past and the present and fix damage to the timeline.
Yes. Which I think that's where your homework gets pretty difficult, because although you can handle it, because I think you're a guy who has specifics on what should and should not be allowed in time travel. If you don't, you will by the time you finish these four.
I looked at that trailer and I was like, I don't know how this is going to be consistent or coherent in any way. But I hope they, like you were saying about Westworld, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I hope they have a consistency of how their world works, because that was one of my problems when I was ranting about how bad I thought Legends of Tomorrow was last year, is that it was essentially a time travel series where nobody involved in the creation of the series seemed to know what any of the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, time travel's made up. You can make whatever rules you want, but you probably should have some rules so that you can't just say from week to week, well, if we change this, nothing happens, and if we change this, everything happens. You've got to have some consistency, a scaffolding, because there's no actual laws of time travel. So you have to make some up and stick to them. So Frequency, that'll be interesting, because even in the teaser for the pilot, I was skeptical of whether they were going to be able to hold it together.
But, yeah. And
it's a fun idea, though. The grown woman who is his daughter, and she's followed in his footsteps, and there are crimes and all that. So you get sort of that crime drama along with the little science fictional edge to it. It could be good, but who knows?
Well, let me put you in the shoes. This might be interesting. I would be curious as to your thoughts. I am going to be curious your thoughts on all these shows. But if you were in the room at TCA, Jason, and you actually had the first question, you had the mic, and you had the creators there, what would be the first question you would ask them?
Well, I feel like I would ask every creator the same thing, which is how is this show built for the long haul?
Mm-hmm.
How do you have enough story to take a 2-hour movie and stretch it out to a multi-year TV series? My other question would probably be something about how does time travel work in this show? If you've got her in the future and him in the past and he's changing things, how does that affect her? Those would be my two questions.
Yeah, those are smart questions. We eventually got to those questions at the ones, but the first question at that panel, I believe, was, if I'm remembering correctly, because I was chuckling, was, why did you remake this movie?
Well, because we really liked Jim Caviezel and Dennis Quaid, I want to say. Or is that who was in that movie? I don't even remember,
but leave it to the TCA to get right to
Jim Caviezel and Dennis Quaid.
Look,
I nailed
you.
It.
Those are great pulls. Very good pulls.
I nailed it. Yeah, so they made the present day person a woman in this one, which I liked that. I thought that was an interesting thing. But yeah, it wasn't like the world was beating down our door for a frequency TV series, just like nobody was beating down our door for the Limitless TV series.
Right.
But we got that.
We did get that.
So maybe next year, Gattaca.
Well, that one I could almost see.
Yeah,
these
you're
ones
right.
I hadn't even heard of.
No, well, you have to pull something out of the air, and the ones that you pull out of the air are memorable. What you need is something that was utterly unmemorable.
Yes.
And that you can't pull that name out of the air.
No, because you have to be like, you have to stumble on it as like they're showing it on Cinemax somewhere, yeah. and they've had it in their arsenal for 10 years.
It's on like WGN on a Saturday right. afternoon, and you're like, I guess that could be a show.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably more advanced thinking that went into like making a show out of Conviction. Like somebody just said, let's Frankenstein this puppy together.
I wonder how that show comes to be, and whether somebody is pitching, like, I wonder if writers are being given a list of intellectual property that a studio owns and saying, you know, do you want to pitch TV series versions of any of this list of 50 movies that we have the rights to? And somebody's like, oh, Frequency. Yeah, the high concept time travel thing. There are going to be lots of those this year. What if we pitch that?
Yeah, I mean, that could be one of them.
I doubt there's somebody who's like, I'm the biggest fan of that show ever. And I really need to see it made into a TV series, because I always wondered what would happen. I don't know.
I don't think that happened. It might have happened, though. Who knows?
It seems unlikely, though, right?
Yeah. The biggest frequency fan.
The right. real frequency fans out there, they're upset that they weren't asked to contribute to the series, probably.
Well, I always think that the worst shows, and I would love to like have the time to go back and create a chart on this based on critical, not like ratings, but a chart on this that said the worst ones are when a network or a channel says, we need this kind of show. That's not the show you want. You want a creator to come in and say, I want to make this show. In fact, Hell on Wheels famously was a show where these guys went in and they pitched AMC a completely different thing. And they said, how about a Western about the railroads? And they said, okay. And they said, sure. we'll let you do it if you want to do it. And those guys said, okay. So that's how a lot of bad shows come about.
Well, you know, Lost was just a joke about, like, what if you did a scripted version of Survivor?
Right.
Like, okay. And they took that and they did something very different. But most of the time, you're right. I think it's like, we need, look, the time travel. It's really big. We need more of the time travel. Get me some time travel. And, yes. You know, what do we have that's time travel? Well, Frequency, it's like the radio waves go through time. It's like, that's close enough. Let's do that.
I love it already, as they
Get me a script. That's right. I love it already. When can you have it? When can you have the first draft? So that's it for premieres in the next week, though. That's it. So CW, lots of CW, and then a couple of shows on Monday, HBO on Sunday night with Westworld, and the two streaming shows that are premiering tonight. And that's all we've got. So it's lessening slightly now for you.
Well, it's still, yeah, it's going to, hopefully it's, well, actually it's not, because I can tell you that all of October is, there's a lot more coming when I get back.
Okay, you're screwed.
Yeah, I'm screwed. But, like, there's still good stuff to watch, you know? I mean, You're the Worst got renewed, and yay! I know people who haven't even watched it yet, so.
Come on, people. You're going to watch that. That's great. I found out today people put things off, right?
I mean, I always say, are you watching Atlanta? And they're like, oh, I heard that was great. Yeah, well, go watch it.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of Atlanta, and it was great. So, you weren't wrong.
Excellent.
You want to talk about, let's say, I've got some letters here. I wanted to tell you, I discovered the other day that Stephen Falk, who's created You're the Worst, was a recapper at Television Without Pity. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. That's how he started. He was very dedicated into his craft.
Yeah, I had no idea. But that's hilarious.
Yeah,
my friend,
it's like,
Lisa,
it's,
Yeah, I know a couple of recappers who are not television professionals who work there too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Want to do some letters?
Let's do it.
All right. Dean of the 707 travel update. You saw this.
I did.
He was at the Mary Tyler Moore statue in Minnesota.
As you know, that's a classic. Be there.
It is.
She was
it
sweet.
Is. He had his iPhone with our logo on it and taking a picture with Mary and with his hat thrown into the air. So thanks, Dean. Let's see what else. On Twitter, Jeffrey wrote in to say after the presidential debate that the real takeaway is that Jason needs to review more episodes of CSI Cyber. Because Donald Trump says that cyber is very difficult and we have to be worried about the cyber.
Well, you know, as people have often said, Jason, let's worry about the cyber first.
I tried to find my isolate torso video to repost on Monday night, but I didn't.
It's a classic.
Dirk sent in on Twitter, sent in a not a thing from MacGyver, which was the call was VoIP routed using Tor, which he says not a thing. I'm not sure. That might be possibly a thing, but it doesn't really matter. It's not. I hope they isolate a torso soon on MacGyver is all I'm really saying.
So you think they should just get sillier and sillier?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? We got one from, I'm going to butcher this name, Baranduin, or as they said in Lord of the Rings, Brandywine, right? Baranduin. But what's great about it is she tweeted it as a picture of in the car in Belgium, driving along a road in Belgium with the TV talk machine on the car music player. And I just love that what she said is finding time for a little slice of home from the 650, discussing things and not a things while driving in Belgium. And like you said about the original, the knowing that the TV talk machine's out there in the world being listened to on roads in Belgium and by people who have snakes dropping on them from above in Australia. It's warms the heart, really.
It does. It makes the world like a better place.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have some solace when the drop bears are coming for you.
Oh my God! Yes, the drop everything.
Dale from the 425 had a really good email, which was we were referring to in our last episode. Bradley was frustrated about putting the phone in the glass of water on Unreal, I think.
Right.
Dale had a good point, which is that was product placement for Samsung for their new waterproof Galaxy S7. So that's why that scene existed, even though it made no sense, is they got paid.
I guess so.
Oh, my. All right. A couple more.
Okay.
We've got two designated survivor letters. Both of which are not a things. So.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
All right. First off, hi, gentlemen. I'll tell you who this is at the end.
Okay.
I have several not a things from designated survivor. Kiefer Sutherland's civilian wife bringing a personal phone into the controlled access area to call her daughter at the start of the pilot episode. Electronics are not allowed in these secure areas, and only special government approved devices with top secret encryption can be used. In fact, I read a story about Hillary Clinton's office and stuff like that, and that was one of the things that they were talking about it's not just the email server, but like what phones people were allowed to be using in various places. The letter writer goes on, also, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development is not the lowest rung on the ladder. Succession follows the order in which the cabinets were created, so the Secretary of Homeland Security is actually last in line, also known as the 19th family. Ouch. although, I think... In story purposes, they did say lowest rung on the ladder. I read that to be he was the lowest political rung since he was going to be asked to depart, and that the president, you know, he was totally out of favor. So as far as the president was concerned, he's the only one he didn't want at the State of the Union because he probably likes the Homeland Security director.
Yeah, I read that as just he's low level, not the lowest level.
Yeah, but it's a good little bit of Constitution knowledge there. Finally, where are the Secretary's Secret Service agents when he's walking around Washington, D.C. before the bombing? Cabinet members can't even ride elevators without Secret Service. I know this from personal elevator sharing experience. With protocol asleep on the job, it's no wonder the Capitol got bombed in this alternate reality. For a farcical take on the federal government, I think I'll stick with Veep over Designated Survivor. Happy 100th episode. A listener from the U.S. Embassy in the +250. You have a fan base in Africa. How about that?
Wow. That is tremendous. I love that.
250 Rwanda, by the way. So somebody in that the U.S. Embassy in Rwanda would like to tell us that there are things in Designated Survivor that are not a thing.
I love that. Other than the fact that my favorite thing about that was that these basically most of the DC just blew up and everybody's driving around like there's no problem. Yeah. There's no traffic. Everybody's calm.
Yeah, that's the part that got me is like they've got people like out on the sidewalks who are looking disturbed and all of that. But there's an intense lack of chaos and shock happening after the Capitol has been blown up.
People are dining out still. That's the funny part.
But honey, my entree just arrived. I know the president got blown up a mile away, but there's fish is here. Yeah. Not a thing. Also not a thing. But anyway, so we go from Belgium to Rwanda. We cover it all here.
We are totally worldwide.
This is why we release simultaneously. Would this happen if we staggered our release and like this episode came out like 8 months later in Africa? No, that wouldn't work. No one would listen. Netflix knows what's going on. Okay, this is from Ben from the 781.
Okay.
Jason and Tim, I never thought it would happen to me, but I discovered a thing.
It's a penthouse letter.
I know, right? Except it's not. I discovered not a thing. In the pilot for Designated Survivor, Iran tries to take advantage of the major terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol by moving naval ships into the Strait of Hormuz. With most of the U.S. government dead, newly promoted President Kirkman, TV's Jack Bauer, summons the ambassador of Iran to the Oval Office for a diplomatic solution to the escalating situation. One small problem, the U.S. and Iran have not had official diplomatic ties since 1980. After the Iranian Revolution, U.S.-Iran relations have only been handled through other nations. According to Wikipedia, instead of exchanging ambassadors, Iran maintains an interest section at the Pakistani embassy in Washington, while the U.S. has maintained a corresponding interest section at the Swiss embassy in Tehran. It also mentions something about a virtual U.S. embassy, but this isn't Designated Survivor Cyber, so let's ignore that for now. Taken together, one can only conclude the Iranian ambassador that Kirkman meets with is not a thing. Perhaps the entire State Department were victims of the attack on the government, leaving no one to correct the new president on his first day. Perhaps it's a member of the Pakistan embassy who will relay the message to Iran. Either way, it's hard to get off intimidating presidential one-liners via proxy. Ben from the 781. Pretty good. He's not wrong.
It's not wrong. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. All right, one more letter. And then we will flee our horrible internet technical problem.
The internet podcast is letting us down today.
It really is.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to do that, internet?
It's one. Come on now, internet.
Yeah. Okay. Dear Jason and Tim, thank you for providing 100 fabulous episodes of the all-new, all-different TVTM podcast. Here's to the next 100 episodes and a possible Agent X reboot on a streaming platform. I have one question. Which series had memorable and or entertaining 100th episodes? Cheers, Mo from the 434. You have any memorable 100th episodes?
Wow. I remember when that was really important because you had that was their sign that you were going to go into syndication, which doesn't really exist anymore.
Right, that's true. That's true. I have
the 100th episode.
Yeah, mine is the one that I remember is that for years and years it was a question every year about whether news radio was going to get renewed because that was a great show that was perpetually low in the ratings and NBC waited to the last minute to renew it every time. And it concluded its final season by airing episode number 98. And that's my story. Is I loved that. That's like they came to a rest and they didn't get there. Sorry, they just never got to 100. So that's my episode 100 story.
Wow, that's dark.
I know, right? Bad. Typical.
That's
though,
like tripping at the finish line of the marathon.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was fitting.
Unable to finish.
I think 100 episodes only matters on like broadcast television, and they generally celebrate that with some kind of hokey crossover. I think if you were to see 100 episodes of some other show that was of high quality, I'm not sure there were 100 episodes of any high quality show, you probably wouldn't be celebrating the 100th episode. It would just be, regular goodness.
Well, I have some breaking news. Breaking news.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For the 100th episode of Arrow this season, they will do a four-way crossover event. That's part of their promo for the new season of Arrow. Is episode 100 will be a crossover. So there you go. See?
Four-way crossover. That's dirty.
Whoa. You're letting some of the old TV talk machine bleed in here at the end.
Well, it's only fair.
It's only appropriate. That's right.
Only appropriate.
All right, let me do the numbers. And nobody ever asks why I say the numbers and then there are no numbers. But that's what you used to have on the old TV talk machines. There'd be a phone number you could call.
You could call us.
And you could never and leave a voicemail and nobody could ever remember to read it. So it would never get read. So here are the numbers. podcast@tvtalkmachine.com, facebook.com/tvtalkmachine, @TVTM on Twitter. I am @JSnell. Tim is @BastardMachine. Of course, thehollywoodreporter.com for all of your Tim Goodman television writing needs. And theincomparable.com/TVTM will give you the show notes, including links to all of Tim's reviews that we touched on in this episode, but not links, not comprehensive lists, as was requested last week, to every show we mentioned on the whole episode, because honestly, I don't have that kind of time. I'm sorry.
That's too much work.
I had to draw the line somewhere, and I draw it at comprehensive show data. Yeah.
All right, we couldn't get to 100 episodes if we had to be that comprehensive.
No, it wouldn't have happened. Exactly right. We're going for quantity over quality here. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
All right. Yes. All right, Tim. It's been a pleasure. 100 episodes in the books. Enjoy Vancouver.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you for putting together 100 fabulous, sometimes flawed internet episodes. And we'll do the next 100. I'm sure
we will do them hopefully under better audio conditions than this, but it'll sound perfect for the people listening. Yes. You guys didn't even notice that our internet was terrible, did you? Did you? Don't answer that. If you did notice, we don't want to hear about it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Tim, have a good weekend, and we'll see you all next week.